Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The last time we spoke with Robert Cohen for our On That Note segment, he was preparing to perform Shostakovich's Cello Concerto No. 1 in Finland. It is a very difficult and emotional piece, and Robert says he was quite nervous about performing it.
This month, he's just returned from what turned out to be a triumphant performance, and he joins us via Skype from his home in London to talk about what it was like.
It was really special, I must say. I mean, I haven't played this Concerto No. 1 by Shostakovich for actually quite a number of years. And so, yeah, that's why I was so busy talking to you about the build-up and the excitement and kind of relearning it and all of that sort of thing. And I think the expectations, when you've been thinking about it for so long, and I think it was booked 2 years in advance, so you really do have your mind on it for a long time. And in the end, it was just such a special occasion. I mean, of course, I always feel that every concert is a special event, but somehow the timing of this and this particular concerto, the Tampere Philharmonic Orchestra that I played with were so warm and communicative and brilliant. The conductor was Carlos Kalmar, who I'd never worked with before, but was really very, very inspiring. And when we were rehearsing the piece, he was giving fantastic analogies to the orchestra to try to create very special sounds. Like, for instance, in the first movement, which is very sort of, it's very tough and controlled and very direct and powerful. The first moment that the timpani comes in, which is really shocking, it's like just this loud bang. And he didn't want it just to sound like a loud bang. So he was explaining it should sound like a gunshot. Because, of course, you know, there was so much oppression that Shostakovich was under at that time. And all this kind of the music that he wrote always had some sort of sense of war and so on in it. And so when the timpani then played that same loud bang, it really did shock everybody, not just because of the volume, but for the kind of quality of the sound.
Wow. So
it was such a good way of explaining it. And there was another section I remember where the woodwind, the flutes and the oboes are playing this very kind of frantic thing, but it sounded beautifully classical and incredibly well controlled because they were such fine players. And Carlos just said to them, can you imagine, you know, there's a bird cage full of birds and this 7-year-old boy puts his hand in and their birds just go frantic and flapping around madly. And he said, can you try to create that sound when you all play together? And immediately the woodwinds just made this amazing sort of quality in the playing. And it was so inspiring to have that around me. He was really fantastic in that way.
What a great way to think about making music, you know, getting those analogies. I mean, that happens in theater too, you know, when you're acting or you're trying to find a way to show those things, but, you know, these are notes on a page. And how wonderful to kind of bring it to life that way.
Yeah, and we do have this tendency as classical musicians to be very careful and to be very sort of exact about the kind of sound we want to make, and especially on an ensemble or in an orchestra, everybody's very careful to make sure that they're together, that they make, you know, that their sounds merge beautifully. And he was kind of suggesting otherwise, because this music is so disturbing and manic at times. It's really terrifying. I mean, it's a concerto which has such extremes, from the kind of really mournful, heartbreaking and really desolate feelings to this kind of absolutely manic, out of control mania, which sort of is part of what you have to play. And yet you still have to play exactly what he's written. It can't be that you're distorting it. It just has to create that energy, because it's so powerful. It's enormously physically exhausting. One has to have so much energy. In fact, I was kind of quite nervous about this concert, which is not typical of me, but I realized that what I was worried about was just whether I had the physical energy to play it the way I really wanted to do. It's like no other concerto. I mean, it's like you need to be at the gym. You need to be playing this concerto for weeks and weeks at the top level just to feel that you have that strength and stamina to get through it, because it is that demanding. And I think I was quite nervous about that because I hadn't played it for some years. And I mean, I used to play it many times, but I guess I'm older now. and somehow I was a bit worried about that, because we're elite athletes. You know, if you're going to be able to play this concerto absolutely to your best, and for it to be in your control, and for you not to run out of energy, you have to be really on top of your game. And I think I was just slightly frightened that, you know, was I going to manage it? But of course, in the end, it went so well. And I think I felt I had so much support from the orchestra and the conductor, and then fantastic audience, you know, nearly 2,000 people packed out. And the concerto has this extremes, including the most amazing solo section. I mean, you've got the whole orchestra playing with you for two movements, and then it turns into this solo cadenza where you're really starting from being a lone voice in the solitude and gradually building for 5 or 6 minutes on your own, through sort of crying and madness and building back to where the orchestra finally greets you and takes you on and takes you through the last movement to this sort of climactic ending. But you are alone with the audience in this silence, in this very intimate way. And that's quite an extraordinary feeling amongst all those people. And it's in that sense, it's a unique concerto as well.
One of the things I think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that would be interesting to perform Shostakovich in Finland is the relationship, the historical relationship between Finland and Russia, which has not always been pleasant and historically has been difficult. And Shostakovich, who was both a product of and a resistor to, you know, the Soviet, the Stalin era, and you know, and so much of that is in his music, and I would think that, you know, the Finns and the Russians having this kind of interesting history with each other would make it even more powerful to play there.
And you know, I think you're right. And what was very interesting is that I did a pre-concert talk. So the manager of the orchestra interviewed me in front of a very large audience of people who were coming to the concert. And that was one of the first questions she asked me, was about this relationship. And of course, mostly in the West, Shostakovich's music was for many years just considered something, I would say, you know, not the thing that most promoters would dare to put on too much, because it was kind of modern and difficult,
thorny,
maybe.
Thorny, yeah.
And in meantime, in the other side of the Iron Curtain, his music was completely normal. And of course, Finland would be much more in that. So they don't think of Shostakovich as, oh, what are we going to have to listen to now? They probably just understand the language very easily. I think that's quite the difference between playing certain repertoire in some countries and differently in another country. What was so also very special about this concert was that after we'd played the concerto, I'd asked the orchestra earlier on if they would play with me as an encore, as a very simple song, which is the Song of the Birds, which was Pablo Casals, the great Catalan cellist. He took this song, Catalonian song, and he used it and played for many years. For instance, in 1971, when he was almost 95, he was given the United Nations Peace Award, and he played this very simple Catalan song in front of the United Nations, and it was just totally heartbreaking. What he said was that when the birds were flying, they were singing the words peace, peace, peace. And so the orchestra agreed to play this with me after the Shostakovich concerto, and I announced to the audience that this is what we were going to play. And I don't think anybody wasn't crying after that. It was just, you know, after this kind of almost warlike Shostakovich concerto, when you feel all of that pressure that you were just talking about against, you know, the pressure of society, what's going on. And of course, right now, with the madness that we have here in the UK and so many other places in the world, the extreme from the Shostakovich fight for life and for hope, and suddenly you have Casals's Song of Peace. It was just such the right moment to play. You know, it's very often you play an encore and it's kind of just to kind of lighten up the atmosphere after something very serious, or to play something very calm on your own because you've not had that much chance to be heard without the orchestra. And in this case, because everybody'd heard me in the Shostakovich alone, as well as with the orchestra, playing Song of the Birds with the strings around me, with this message, I think just suddenly everybody felt, you know, we're all one and we are all together and peace is what we want. And I just felt the whole sense of playing that music at that time was spine tingling, really.
You were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and I was also there because for the festival that surrounded this performance, I've mentioned her before, Heini Kärkkäinen, my Finnish pianist who I've played with for so many years, and she runs this festival, Tampere Chamber Music. The day after this performance of Shostakovich, I was going to join several other wonderful musicians to do chamber music concerts for the rest of the week. And so that's also a very, very special feeling to be with her and her very special friends, some of whom are also very close to me. So I think that just the follow-on from this occasion with the Tampere Philharmonic into the intimate chamber music with very special people, in the end, this real sense of being together was kind of extended beyond that orchestral concert into partnerships and the smaller scale of chamber music. And you know, there are not so many weeks that are so completely unforgettable, but this was definitely one of them.
Cellist Robert Cohen joins us every month to talk about the art and craft of being a professional musician in a series we call On That Note. He takes us out with an earlier performance of that same cello concerto number 1 by Shostakovich.